All right, welcome here this morning. You know, every year, Father's Day is a special day for me, and I don't think on Father's Day, maybe once, I turned Ken loose, but usually on Father's Day, it's a sacred time for me. You spoke last year when I was sicker than a dog. All right, so I think only two times now I've been preempted, and one was because I could barely crawl. So it's good to be healthy and to be here today. But, you know, we got thinking about all the journey that we've taken in the last year and all the things that God has revealed and unveiled to us and the things we've been learning about our journey in Christ. And we thought, wouldn't it be great to have, kind of a little expose up here. When I heard that Mark's dad was going to be here today, I said, why don't we get the three of us up on here and Mark can tell his story, what it was like to be raised by a perfect dad. And then his dad can talk about, yes, I am perfect, and this is how I was able to raise a perfect son. And then how they made my job so easy as a spiritual father, just to encourage Mark as well. And so we wanted to give you kind of all three perspective here of really what a healthy, growing and encouraging young man looks like and how God wants to set us all up for success. Amen? Amen. And so this is really all about Mark today. And so let's put your hands together for Mark Henshaw. And Ryan Conroy has been doing an excellent job of leading our Real Sons group, which is our men's group on every other Thursday night. And so we thought, who better to ask the questions today and to set us up, much like he does at Real Sons when he's been doing that process throughout the last year, than to have Ryan Conroy up here with us today as a lead men's ministry. Come on, Ryan, put it together. And so without any further ado, I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Conroy. Take it away.
Well, I will start by saying it was an honor to be asked in the first place. This is really cool. Father's Day is important to me as a dad myself, spiritual father myself. This is just a really wonderful opportunity. And can we just make some noise for all the dads in the house today? You guys are awesome. We value you. We love you. With Mark being, one of my best friends, I've said he's my Jonathan to my David. He's just really come alongside me. He's been an integral part of my walk as a Christian, just as a man in general. So really love you, Mark, and this is going to be a lot of fun. So we're going to direct the first question, obviously, towards you. So here we go. So you have actually had the privilege, unlike a lot of young men, to grow up in a Christian home, not necessarily a perfect home, but certainly one that valued Christian principles, faith, and just valued church as a whole. What was it like, rather, growing up with a dad who knew the Lord?
Well, there we go. We good? There we go. Turn it up a little. Give me a little deeper bass so I feel manly. This is a man's day. I can't seem light. There we go. A little there. Okay, come on. You got to help a brother out here.
Do you have a Toby Keith setting up there or anything like that?
There's a lot of jokers up here today. For me, growing up, the great thing was that I grew up in a Christian family. So the benefits of that was that I got to go to church from birth. I didn't know the benefits as a baby, but there's pictures of me getting dedicated, and my parents have their 70s suits on, 70 suits, and all dressed up at the little community church. And so I didn't know any different than growing up in the church. So that means I got to go to Sunday school. I learned about Moses and Noah and all the stories and the songs, and I thought that was normal. So the benefit is getting to grow up in an atmosphere where the principles of normal Christianity are just acceptable, and you don't know any difference. So that means I got to grow up. My dad was a strong provider. My parents were both Christians. His dad taught him to be a strong worker, kind of like you mentioned, Pastor Kevin. So my dad, there was never a worry that we weren't going to have anything. So you just grew up thinking everything was good. Not everything was perfect, but everything was good. So we had plenty of provision, plenty of security. And when you feel secure and when you feel provided for, a son can begin to stretch his wings. A son can do things because everything's fine. There's no problems. Everything's going to be good. And so I remember asking God as I got older, I said, God, what were you doing as a young child in my life? And he said, Mark, I was showing you that you're provided for and that you are secure and that you're happy. He goes, would you please be happy and secure and show other adults what that looks like? Because that was the gift I gave you as a child. So that comes from my father and mother because they were consistent. The food was on the table, the clothes were in there, the bills were paid. And so we just got to grow up thinking that everything's going to be fine. And that gave me a lot of encouragement just to be happy, be secure, and be able to share that attitude. People ask me why I'm so happy. I think it's because I just grew up that way. And everything was good. And that was my upbringing.
Wow, awesome. That's amazing. So, despite all that and growing up in a Christian home, obviously a home that followed Jesus, that valued, again, church and faith and these fundamentals of our faith that we believe, was there anything that you grew up believing about yourself or the nature of your relationship with God that as you grew up and as you matured in the faith, you realized maybe needed some correction?
Well, I think, I don't know how our family got into this in a little bit of our belief system, but I think I thought that if there's any sin in my life and God caught me by like 7 o'clock or the rapture happened at 8 and I hadn't asked for forgiveness yet, I was going to go to a fiery pit. And that's kind of, my parents never talk like that, but for some reason I thought like that. And so maybe it was the church culture we grew up in, maybe not as I got older, because I don't remember those sermons, but I just remember being afraid all the time, like, oh, I got, and it created some hiddenness and some secrets because you don't want to get caught. And so I was saved by faith when I was 4.5 years old. I asked Jesus in my life after I went to church one day when the pastor gave the gospel message. So I knew I was saved by faith, but I didn't know how to live by faith. I was living by like how good of behavior. So it became into some codependency, people pleasing, and wanting to always do it right, whether it was at home or school. And my parents never treated me that way, so I don't think it was through their parenting, but I just kept trying to always make the right decision every time. I want everyone to like me, whether it was school or sports or academics, always trying to perform. Looking back, I realize I started slipping into like a servant role. How good could I serve? What I didn't know is when you're a son, you don't have to earn that. That's right. But I was serving to earn it as a servant. But my parents didn't expect me to be a servant. I was their son. But for some reason, I was following that kind of a gospel of how good I can do it. The gospel of works, I would call it now. So that snuck into my life only for like the first 35 years, I would say. And, as we get into it, you'll see as I moved to Belleville and a little before that, God started doing something. But there was something that helped me before that too. Not only were my parents Christian, but there was an uncle I had. And many of you have heard from him. His name is Uncle Bill, affectionately. And, or UB, even shorter. And Uncle Bill said that God had put me on his heart as a young boy. So when Uncle Bill would come to our birthday parties, Christmas, he would always look me in the eye before we left. He said, Mark, God has a call on your life. There's something special about you. And I was just as a kid going, what? But he kept saying it over and over. He always looked out for me. He always spoke life over me. So not only did I have good parents, I had this uncle who would spiritually, really strongly look me in the eye and pretty much prophesy to me. And he just felt like he was supposed to do it. And I just felt so good when he would do it. I would smile and say thank you. So we've always had a great affection for one another. And so growing up, I also had Uncle Bill acting like a spiritual father. Now, we didn't use those languages. We didn't need to. But he was really speaking life into me on top of my parents.
Wow, that's awesome. The whole transition from servant to son is a really big deal. If I could direct the next question towards Bob, that would be great. And for those of you who don't know, direct from Washington State, make some noise for Bob Henshaw. We love you. I've had the opportunity and the privilege of getting to sort of chat with you over coffee a couple times, and I haven't said it, but I will say it. Thank you for sending your son to this side of the American border, because we love him up north here. He's been just a tremendous blessing to this home. So thank you for that, Bob. But the question I have, I guess I'll start with, is you and Ann came to faith somewhere between your oldest and Mark. And my question really is just really simply, how did knowing or getting to know who Christ is change your lives? And what effect did knowing Christ have on how you parented?
Well, that's a fairly easy question, but before we start, I would like to say that, you know, Pastor Kevin and Pastor Mark, they're paid to be good. And okay. But listen, many of us here, including me, we're good for nothing.
That answers our question. Good, perfect, yes.
Okay. Well, leading up to becoming a Christian, you know, I went to a private school for a year. I was asked to leave. And that's a whole different story. But anyway, during that time leading up to that, like Kevin was saying, my father was a father, but he wasn't a real good father. But I saw one day, we were up at the farm 50 years ago, and my brother was there with my other brother, got in an argument. My sister said, "Bob, you're the oldest brother, you need to come up here." So I come up there, a pastor's there, and he starts talking about Jesus. And I thought, I grew up in a church. I was an altar boy, catechism classes, all of that. But it never hit me until that time who Jesus really was and how he died for me. And I thought, what? You know, I'm 27 years old, and it finally hits me who Jesus is. Life-changing. It really was. It was just, you know, we started going to church, met some people that I never knew that I would meet. They're still my friends today. They did things for me that I thought, I don't understand this. We had a car. It was a 75 Ford, and it broke down. And so I left for work in my truck. I come home that night, and it's fixed. I thought, well, how can it be fixed? Well, there was a mechanic there. It needed a head gasket, so he came over, pulled the heads off, took them down, had them milled, put a new head gasket on, put it back, come back, and my wife said, well, the car's running. I go, what do you mean it's running? Well, somebody from church came over and fixed it. So I said, I told Dan, I said, I can't believe you did that. And he goes, what? Like it was nothing. And that's the way it seems it's been that way since. I've been blessed. And it was from a different father, the Father from heaven. Completely different. You know, happiness comes from things of the world sometimes, but pure joy for me and you here comes from the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. And so during that time, things, they really changed. You know, Trinity was born in 1974. We were saved in 76. My brother Bill, who is a pastor today, who Mark mentioned, was sitting on the floor, and he was 18 years old. He got up and said, you guys are nuts. And he left. Well, he was 8 years younger than me, so 8 years later, he came to know the Lord. So he just figured that out, you know. We waited 8 years, and you're going to be. So, and he's a pastor today. So because of all the things that happened during that time in our life, you know, with my wife, who I would like to say that being a good father has a lot to do with your spouse. And, you know, she prays for me every day, and I need it, you know. We all do. So because of that, coming to know the Lord, I wouldn't be here today. Mark wouldn't be here. Katrina wouldn't be here. My grandkids wouldn't be here. They're not here. So, honey, could you stand up? Katrina, up. Come on. Yep. And I love you both. So, you know, fast forwarding from there, we go into parenting, you know, Christ in our life, and how it was to parent knowing that I knew Christ. Well, you know, I can say that as I look back on it, sure, there were some hard times, but it was easy pastoring our children. It really was. Sunday morning, we went to church. Sunday night, we went to church. Wednesday, we went to church. And it was just, it became a habit. And a habit's something you don't think about. It just happens. Like coming to church here. It's, would I stay home today at the farm? And Mark would just have me working anyway. You know, no. I wanted to come to this church. Our son is now at this church. And I look around and I talk to him, and, you know, and he has some friends here, you know, and you know who you are. And he is so blessed, and we are blessed to have people like that in his life. We really are. And many of you know Mark, and you know, growing up, Mark was talking about earlier, he would never say no to anything. And I told him one time, Mark, you can't say yes to everything. Because if you say yes to everything, you won't do it 100%. But if you do a few things that the Lord has blessed you with, you'll do it 100%. And so I think he has learned that. He's working on it. Right. Yeah. But, you know, when I ask him to, anything I ever asked Mark to do, he just did. We'd come home, the garbage out, mow the lawn, vacuum the swimming pool, and we'd say, thanks, Mark. And he'd go, yeah? Like, wasn't I supposed to do it? But, you know, I've been blessed with, like I said, three lovely children, Trinity, Matthew, and Mark. And so parenting has been, I would say, easy. Because we grew up in the church and the kids knew it. Like Mark said, you know, when he was younger, he came to know the Lord 4 and a half, accepted the Lord. Back up from there, though, when we had him, we took him and dedicated him to the Lord, I said, Lord, take my son and use him. And even if you want to take him home right now, take him home right now. He's yours. And then I thought, what'd I say? You know, did I say that? He answered my prayer. He did. He answered my prayer. So it's been good.
Amen. Wow. So as his dad, and you watched him sort of grow up, and you watched him give his life to the Lord, and you prayed that, right? If it's his time to, whatever it is, I want you to use him. What would you say, you as his dad, what were the things that you most desired for him as he became an adult?
Well, I prayed, and we pray daily, the wife and I, for the kids, and I just pray that through everything that God has blessed him with, he would turn around and bless others. And I believe that's what he is doing. I believe so. So it.
Yeah.
he's a good son, and I couldn't ask anything more parenting him to have him turn out the way he has turned out. And the love that he has for this church and people, you know, he's like my brother Bill and my brother Dan, who is also a pastor. When we go to a restaurant or Starbucks or any place like that, they never sit with us. Because they're always out talking to somebody. I said, and I'll ask, where'd you go? And he goes, well, that guy over there, he seemed like he needed a coffee. Or my brother Dan go, well, I went over, you know, I told him I was going to buy him dinner. And he goes, well, why would you buy me dinner? And then Dan would, you know. So that's what kind of people God has made my son into.
Amen. I can attest to that. Amen. Yeah, he's been, anybody who's ever been for coffee with Mark, that's a 100% true statement. Usually you'll find him up wandering around between getting your coffee and trying to sit down and have a conversation with him. Again, thank you for sending him up north here. We love him on this side of the border, and he's made Canada better being here. So
amen
to that.
Amen.
I'm going to divert now over to Rev Kev, Pastor Kevin. How is being now, we're going to transition, I guess, from being a natural father, right, the man who raised Mark, to now somebody who sort of has some spiritual fathering to do with Mark. So how is being a spiritual father and a birth father the same, like, and in what ways are they different? I mean, there's a very obvious difference, but...
Well, I think, you know, being a spiritual father to someone is the same as a natural father in the sense that, you know, you're not going out through the congregation finding 10-year-olds that you're going to be a spiritual father to. It's something that adults get into a relationship with when they know that there's some blind spots they have in their life, or there are some areas where they need strengthening, where they need someone to walk with them. And so much like with your own kids when they get older, you know, I'm not packing lunches for my kids anymore. I'm not, you know, and I'm not calling them up and seeing how they're doing every day and making sure they took their vitamins and any of that kind of stuff. Do you know what I mean? Like, how do you operate with adult children? You know, you love your kids, you do everything you can to set them up for success, and then you launch them out of the nest and you want them to be successful. And then sure, you talk to them all the time, you have regular communication, but really you wait for your children to draw something upon you when they need something. As an adult, they still may need something. They may have seasons in their life, whether it's, hey, can you watch the grandkids this weekend? Or hey, I need your input on this, or how to deal with this problem, or how to deal with that problem. You know, you let your adult children draw that out of you. And I think it's the same with a spiritual son or a daughter. You know, you're not there to tell them what to do, but you're there to offer yourself as a guide, as an encourager, as somebody that they can draw stuff upon when they need it. And that's why we always talk about, when it comes to spiritual fathers and sons, we say fathers and mothers, they set the temperature of how intimate, how warm the relationship is going to be, whether it's, you know, this, or whether it's, you know, all right, to talk about today, you know, and yet the sons and the daughters, they set the pace. Like, yeah, they're the ones that, because they need to be the ones drawing it out of you, right? Otherwise it gets weird. Do you know what I mean? So they draw it out of us. And Mark is one of those guys that, you know what it's like. He's gonna ask you a million questions, and he's gonna draw it out of you every single day. And so the relationship is really based on what that spiritual son, just like your adult children, what they need from you at the different stages that they're at in their life. Now, the way it's different, you know, as much as Mark would like me to write him into his will, that's probably not going to happen. You know, my daughter's already told me that she's planning on, you know, when I die, that's her retirement plan. So I'm already setting that up for my kids. You know, that's what we do. We do that for our natural children. We want to leave legacy for them. We want to do that for them. And I'm all in with my grandkids in any way that I can. I want to invest in them. Thankfully I haven't had to, you know, take over that duty with Mark and his kids, you know, although I have had to drive Spencer home from church a couple of times because his parents forgot him here. You know what I'm saying? one one day Spencer comes up after church, can you drive me home? Well, where are your mom and dad? They left me here. Both one thought the other one had him. And I think that happened twice, didn't it, Spencer? Yeah, that happened twice. So I'm there for you, buddy. Got your back. You know, but that it is different in that sense. You know, I'm not here in any way to replace Bob. I'm here to come alongside Mark and to bring encouragement, to, you know. And there are some things, you know, that you have to be able to do with spiritual sons. There's input that you have to be able to give. You've got to cut time out for them. So don't start a relationship you're not willing to give time to. But it is still different than your own kids, and that's, I think, pretty obvious. But that's how similar for me and how it's different.
Yeah, I found it interesting. Actually, one of the things that Bob had to teach Mark was that you can't say yes to everything and doing all these different tasks, because you're not going to be able to give 100%. And Mark's preached on this before, where similarly, you gave him very much the same advice, except it became a relational aspect, that you can't have a deep relationship with everybody. You can't pour yourself out that much. So it's just interesting that, you know, there are similarities and differences, obviously, but it really is. It's just interesting that thread is still always kind of woven in. You know, I forgot boxing gloves for this next question, but that's fine. What's it been like being a spiritual father to Mark Henshaw?
Exhausting.
Give him another coffee.
You know, actually, I've known Mark, you know, this didn't just kind of happen overnight. I've known Mark since he and Katrina were dating. And, you know, Katrina brought him here to Belleville. And I think, like, other than her parents, the first people she called up were, like, Sherry and I, to sit down, you got to meet Mark. And I'd heard all about Mark before I met Mark. So we got this opportunity to connect with him and to really develop a relationship with him that just grew over the years. And Katrina was also one of three young ladies in the youth group that I promised that I would marry them no matter where they got married. And so one of those weddings took me to Spokane, Washington, as I was able to, along with your Uncle Bill, stand up there and join them together in holy matrimony. That was awesome. And, you know, so what you see hasn't just evolved over the last 10 years. It actually goes back even before that kind of, like his Uncle Bill, you know, it was another voice that was echoing in his ear, you know. And and it's interesting, you know, you said that Mark said yes to everybody. And, you know, to show how that journey is ongoing and you need other voices to speak to it. Mark was here maybe a couple years and yet another person had come to the church, and this had happened before. And Mark would just be so excited that this guy's here and he's pouring all this time into him. He's going to his house. He's doing all this stuff. And then a month or two later, the guy's gone. On to another church to find a girlfriend or something like that, you know. And he comes in, he just sits down, and he's so discouraged. And I said, Mark, you have to understand, you know, you're called to love everybody, and you do that better than anybody I know. But you can only invest in a few. And you have to choose who you're going to invest in. And you base that on where they're at in their journey, how hungry they are for the Lord, how committed they are to the house, and what leadership potential they have. And you find those people, and you invest in those people. You love everybody, but you invest in a few. And basically, you know, reiterating his dad from years before, you can't say yes to everything, right? And you can't. You've got to be able to say no to some things so you can say yes to the right things. Does that make sense to everybody? And dads, we all have to learn that. We got to say no to some things so we can say yes to the things that are most important. And that's true of family life. That's true of work life. That's true of everything in our lives. And, you know, Mark has been a really easy guy to be a spiritual father to, and he's always asking, right? He's always pulling. He's like, hey, can we meet for coffee tomorrow? Absolutely. You know, and my answer is almost always yes, unless there's something else going on. But Mark's always pulling on it. He's always wanting to go deeper. He's always wanting to have more. And so that really helps the relationship move along. You know, but my desire for Mark is the exact same as his dad's desire for Mark. What do we both want? We want Mark to grow up to be an incredible, loving, caring man of God. That's what we want. I have no agenda for Mark that would be, I think, any different than his dad's agenda for Mark. And I'll say one final thing about this before we move on, is that I think in Mark's case, of all the different people that I'm a spiritual father to and I work with, I walk with, I should say, Mark's different in that I'm also Mark's boss, right? So one of the things I've learned is that I have to speak differently to Mark than I can say speak to Adam. If I thought Adam was doing something goofy, I'd just say, dude, what are you doing? And he'd go, go ahead, Rev, hit me, take, you know, I can take it, you know? But with Mark, you know, I have to create a sandwich. You know, I have to talk about all the things that he's doing great. Then this little thing I'm concerned about, and then some more about what he's doing great, you know, because he's not going to take the same way Adam would. And so you have to know who it is that you're walking with, and you have to know how they're wired. And so it's actually been good for me, because it's in, you know, adjusting how I operate with Mark has helped me be more sensitive to how other people might be. Because for me, you can just walk through the front door and tell me straight. We did a wedding a few weeks ago for Jonathan's daughter and Noelle and Derek. And a lady meets us out in the foyer afterwards, and she goes, you did the ceremony today? Yeah. Did you mind if I just give you a little bit of criticism? No, go ahead.
You married the bride, right? Like,
yeah, go ahead. That doesn't bother me. But for some people, that would be really like, wow, did I fail? You know? And so, no, go ahead. What do you want to know? And so anyhow, I think it's important to know and to have that kind of relationship with them, so that you, as just as the Bible says, train a child in the way they should go. And when they're old, they won't depart from it. That the way they should go is important, because every child's different. And you have to know who it is you're working with, and you want to bring the very best out in that person. Amen? And so that's my job with Mark. That's what it's been like with Mark. And I also have way increased my coffee intake with Mark. Yeah, that's for sure, too.
Yeah, there's... What's that? One more thing to say. Sure, absolutely. Bob, if you want to tag on to that.
You know, this was one of the questions, but...
Y'all go right ahead.
Go ahead.
I've never followed rules real good. Anyway, so I looked up on Google, okay, what is a good son? It said, the Bible portrays a good father, as one who provides, leads by example, and disciplines with patience, not being harsh or causing anger. Growing up, my father was an angry person. He was very physical with me. And I said, when I have kids someday, I'm not going to treat them that way. So he didn't. When they do something wrong, I'd say, example, no running in the house or you're going to get a spanking. Well, that's when you could spank. So I'd see Mark come cruising through the house chasing his brother. And I go, what did Dad say? So we go in the bedroom. I put him over my knees and I said, I love you. But Dad said, not to run in the house, or what? Mark would go, I get a spanking. Swat him on the rear. He'd cry. It wasn't a love tap. And I said, when you're done crying, you can come out of the room. So he came out of the room, and what do you think he did? He came right to me and sat on my lap, gives me the big hug. That's why... Fathers, when you discipline your kids, don't be harsh. Don't do it out of anger, because it just turns them off. As you can see, it didn't turn him off. Thank you.
I remember growing up and, growing up in a Christian home, some of the benefits are simple things like, you guys know I'm a Seattle Seahawks fan. But back in the 80s, they weren't known for winning a lot. And so my dad and I, whether it was the Seahawks or watching Sunday afternoon golf, he was the kind of father where, Sunday afternoon, after church, you're chilling out, you've had lunch, you're down watching TV, and he's laying on the floor, and I could just come in and lay right with him. And if you think about that now, that's a very personal thing. But that's because he must have created an atmosphere where I felt safe to be that close with him. So fathers, as you grow up, provide an atmosphere, or maybe the grandfathers and or for uncles, provide an atmosphere where your kids so feel so safe they can come to you. Especially the little ones, but as they grow, even as men, that they know they can come to your house and not get anger or rejection, but affection and love and truth. And that's what my dad did. And I know he did it subconsciously because he was already a Christian at that point. But it was one of those stories that it helped me love the Seahawks, and eventually they started winning, which was great. But back then, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, amen to that. It's, you know, we live in a culture that really abhors discipline and correction, and we preach love and tolerance, but the reality is that love corrects, and that's how Bob fathered, and this is the outcome. So good job. you knocked it out of the park. We'll end with picking on Mark sort of one last time here. What has been the benefit of not just having a devoted birth father, a biological father, but a devoted spiritual father as well? How's that been a benefit in how you parent in your life and how you do relationship and just how you do life in general?
Well, we've shared some of the stories already. The Bible gives you a lot of indication that wise people know how to ask for counsel. They know how to humble themselves. They know how to surround themselves with the right people. Especially in Proverbs, it talks a lot about before you go to war, get sound counsel, things like that. So when I see myself as a young man growing up, trying to be a leader, trying to be a provider, a husband, father, am I going to do that on my own? Or according to the scriptures, am I going to surround myself with other wise people, especially men with men? And so what happened with me growing up with a good dad, that was like a springboard. And then I had Uncle Bill come in. Spiritually begin that journey, not knowing really what it was. I had some good mentors in between, but they were never fathers. They were mentors, which is really important, very helpful. I had some people that were like uncles to me, but they weren't like fathers. And then moving here, because Katrina trusted Kevin and Cherry so much, my heart was more open. And so that sped up the speed of the relationship. And, you know, for me, it's very simple. It's like having a gas reserve. Like you think you're going to run out of gas, and then you just flip the switch, and there's a whole nother tank. It's like having a secret bank account that nobody knows about. You're like, what do you mean? Well, because I have access to Kevin, I can go to him on things that I can't go to my dad. Maybe it's just physically we live thousands of miles apart. Plus, these two men have different gifts, different assignments, different callings. So I'm not going to try to get from my dad what Pastor Kevin's gift is and vice versa. I don't go to Pastor Kevin for what my dad's gift is. When you have multiple healthy men in your life that are trying to make you successful, all you have to do is ask. And so for me, let me give you a construction picture. When we started renovating our house, we flew Dad and Uncle Bill up because Uncle Bill's also a contractor as well as a pastor. And so we had this one room going from the kitchen to the dining room. It was a simple door. But we thought, let's open that door up to make a more open concept. So Uncle Bill and Dad, I left for the day, and Uncle Bill and Dad worked all day, and they started expanding that and expanding it. And they said, you know, this is pretty cool. Why don't we go another foot? And I'm like, really? And they went another foot, and they put a new beam in. And pretty soon, I measured it yesterday, last night. I think it was almost 8 feet wide. Right, with new beams in it. So it's a beautiful open concept room now. Went from a doorway to a full open. And I really felt the Lord speak to me saying, this is what healthy fathers do. Birth and spiritual. You know what they do? They open doors for us. They expand our life. They make room where you didn't even know you had room. They give you a vista that's way better than if you did it on your own. Healthy men make space for you and they open doors for you. And they do it because that's just what they do. These guys are just natural at it. They're natural fathers. And so there's fathers in this room that you have blessed me in an amazing way. There was a guy in here, I had an insurance problem, big problem. Because, you know, it's tough getting insurance when you're doing builds. And we were running into all these details. Well, one of the guys in the church, he goes, Mark, let me come out and see what I can do. So he came out, solved a lot of insurance problems. I was so thankful. But you know what was much greater than that? He acted like a father. He said, Mark, can we just stop here? I think we should pray. He put his hands around me, and he began to pray and prophesy over the property, my inheritance, my family, my legacy. See, that's not just a normal insurance person. That's a father. Our church is full of fathers. Our job as young men, ladies, spiritual moms and dads, our job is to go and start making relationships so one day you can develop that. Do you know they're in the room right now? But we have to take, I remember I was so nervous. Kevin and I had our thousandth coffee at Starbucks. I was ready to ask him to be my spiritual. I was nervous and sweating. I don't know why. I had a contract the day before thinking I should write a contract. That's not spiritual fathering. That's like a business deal. I threw the contract away going, oh yeah, that's not what we're supposed to be. It's supposed to be relational. And I was nervous. I stumbled over my words, and he was very gracious and said, yes, Mark, you know, I think we can work that out. Because we were already living it. For me, I just wanted to say it out loud because that's my personality. I like to use words to confirm things. And so I said it out loud. So I knew, he knew, the enemy knew, Jesus knew, everybody knew. And so that's it. But I want to challenge the men in this room. Don't live like an orphan. Don't even live like a servant. You can be applauded as a servant, make a lot of money, get awards and all that kind of stuff. But if you're a son, that means you push into living like not an orphan, not a servant, but you have a father. So I just want to challenge you in that area.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, hope this has been an insightful look into Mark's life here for you this morning. Has that been good? Amen. I want to thank Bob and Ann for raising such a great young man and letting us steal him from one end of the country to the other. And, we're doing our best to take care of him and not spoil him too much, but, take care of him. And you guys have done a wonderful job in giving Desert Stream the gift of Mark and Katrina together. Amen.
Yeah.
And we thank you for that. Amen. Yeah.
Bob, if you and Ann could send us some coffee money, though, that would be stellar. Yeah. His budget's like through the roof.
You might be here today, and I want to just close by quickly just speaking to the dads as the team comes up to sing one last song this morning. And, Bob was honest with you today that he wasn't raised with a dad that knew the Lord, and he was an angry man. My story, my dad did his best, but my story is not in many ways dissimilar. My dad, when he disciplined, he waited until he was angry, and then I get disciplined in anger. It kind of let it go until he exploded, and then you knew about it. And I was raised in a home where there was no hugging or signs of affection or anything like that. And so you can make decisions, just as I made a decision to follow Christ. I made a decision that wouldn't be our home, that Dowlings would be huggers. We would be people that were expressive about our feelings and our love for one another. And you might be here today and your childhood might not have been idyllic, and you might look at it and go, my dad and I, we don't even have a relationship today. Mm-hmm. First thing you can do is you can ask and pray for God to heal that. But you also have an opportunity to build differently going forward. And you also have available to you men in this house that would love to just bring encouragement, that you could come alongside and that they would pour into your life. They would help you find that pathway forward in God so that you could be as healthy a dad as you could possibly be. And you know what? If you're here today and your dad was like Bob, just a man who really loved the Lord and was really, really investing in your life, that's fantastic. So, Rhett, why don't you come alongside another guy and replicate that for them? Bring that to them. And don't discredit having a spiritual father in your own life as well, because you can never get too much of a good thing. Amen? Amen. No matter what your situation is, I guess what I'm trying to say is that, fathering is really important. Yes. Whether it's natural fathering or spiritual fathering. If you watch TV, all the sitcoms, dads are made out to be complete bumbling idiots. I mean, they are. They're never people who have it together, cool, good providers, loving, compassionate. They're always made out to be people who are literally at very best, you know, dysfunctional tools. And you know, that's the way culture devalues fatherhood. But we're here today to say that fatherhood is extremely important. And our prayer is that as men, that you would be able to step into being the very best dad that you can possibly be. And that God's got that for you. And that let him rewrite your DNA. Let him rewrite who you are on the inside so that you can be everything you need to be on the outside. Amen?
Amen.
So I'm going to invite you to stand, and Derek's going to sing for us a closing song this morning. And but as he does, if your dad's here, would you come and stand with them today? And as he sings a song, would you just pray for them? And if your dad's not here today, you're here with your spouse or another family member, just would you just receive prayer as men today? Could we just get blanketed in prayer today? And we just want to thank you for being here with us today at Desert Stream. We love you. We bless you. Father, we just pray blessing on our dads today. We ask that, God, you would minister to every father in this house, that you would draw them into who they're supposed to be, who you've anointed them to be, and that, God, they would experience that all that, Father, you have for them. We thank you today in Jesus' name. Amen.